All right, welcome back, Inebriates. This is Andy, the Inebriart Podcast, and we are recording today from Thunder Road in Somerville, Mass., and we are here with some of the members of the Lowdown Brass Band. You guys are from Chicago, is that correct?
That's correct.
That's right. Yeah.
So this was described to me as a hip-hop brass band. Is that accurate, and how does one decide to make a hip-hop brass band? That does not seem like something that
I mean, it, is a yeah, natural fit. It's relatively accurate. We've been a band for 15 years. It's our 15-year anniversary.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. And it started out kind of out of the New Orleans second line, pretty standard model as far as like that kind of street beat jazz. And then pretty early on, we started adding our influences in Chicago, like reggae, dub, funk, soul, hip-hop being one of those things. And about 4 years ago, Bill Camp came into the fold. Our producer and sousaphone player, Lance Loisel, brought him in from a previous project, Trio Logic. And we really started to feature him, especially heavily on this last album, Lowdown Breaks. So, it's super hip-hop forward, features a lot of MCs and guest artists. So at this point, it's kind of a hip-hop brass band, but we don't like to, stay in a mold for very long.
Right,
it evolves, and we change.
I feel like this day and age, you try to ask people to describe music, and they're like, well, we're a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and, no one wants to kind of, really put a specific label on things.
Genre bending, for sure.
I just had visions of, and don't take this the wrong way, because I was a high school band nerd. Getting together and being like, hey, let's do this. Were you all like high school band people?
I mean, we were, of course we're horn players. So, we all went through school doing music and playing horn in school. But a lot of us learned music in other ways as well. Some of us were church musicians growing up, whatnot. Yeah. And then, of course, like the nature of what Bill Camp does is really a street art. So, nerds, yes, but not too nerdy.
Yeah, so. No, like I said, I played bass clarinet. I'm not,
I mean, Dave plays jazz flute, so
No, we embrace the nerd for sure. We try to.
Yeah.
Can't help it. Nice. You got to be honest, so.
So what is your, are you all from Chicago specifically, or just from all over?
We're kind of from all over the place. We have some guys who are from Chicago and from, Chicago suburbs, and then we have guys that are from the Detroit area. Our sousaphone player Lance is from Detroit. Raphael, our trombone player, is also from Detroit. I'm originally from a small town in Texas. Billy here is originally from Harlem, New York. Dave from Wisconsin.
Yeah, Midwestern boy.
Midwest.
Yeah.
So we're kind of from all over the place, but all of us have been in Chicago for probably over 10, 15 years at this point in our lives. Yeah.
And Billa, when they approached you about joining a brass band, was that like an obvious, oh, sure? Or were you like, what are you talking about?
No, I mean, like I say all the time, man, I'm totally stoked to play with instruments all the time. So, I mean, once they said it, I was like, let's do it. And actually, I've known these guys for a long time. It wasn't like I just met them 4 years ago. Like Dave said before, me and Lance had a project before this, and it's called Trio Logic. And he introduced me to these guys 15 years ago, so I already knew the brass band.
Oh, so you've known the band for a while.
Exactly. Yeah. So it wasn't like the first day I met him, but you know what I mean? Once he said, come hang with us, I was like, yeah, dude, let's do it.
It's all very natural.
So, yeah.
Like really just like bringing in another family member, it was real, real easy and organic, and it just made sense.
And that's one thing you tend to see a lot in bands is like the dynamic and politics and drama. You guys have a rather large band. How many people are in?
Well, we got eight tonight, yeah.
But we're 10 strong when we're all there.
So is that more complicated to deal with,
I mean, it can be. At this point, we've been a band for so long that, we've learned how to deal with everybody's little, synchronicities or whatever, and we just kind of deal with it. Everybody's a big family. We've known each other forever. We all, some of us have kids, and our kids are becoming friends and and girlfriends and wives and all that kind of stuff. So it's a big family. We get along pretty well. So,
but you know, like brothers quarrel. And, it gets heated. But
you got to tell someone they're wrong once in a while.
We have a shot and hug it out, and then live to fight again.
So. But we also have an ongoing game of pool that doesn't stop.
Never stops,
and it gets pretty rowdy.
So you guys are here in the Boston area. Where have you guys traveled to? Like, do you travel all over the country, the world? Like,
Yeah, I mean, we've been all over the country, you know, East Coast, West Coast, up to Alaska, you know, New York, Canada. We're headed up to Montreal Jazz Fest in just a week or so. We performed at an international jazz festival in Macau, outside of Hong Kong.
Oh, wow.
Nice. So that was real culture shock
yeah.
For us and probably for the folks over there, too, to hear what we do. But yeah, so we're trying to travel more. We're trying to make it down to Central South America in 2019, trying to make it over to Europe. So yeah, we're really trying to push the travel and try to expand and, you know, spread
and build that fan base. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Spread the word.
Have you been surprised by, like, who's your fans? Like, what do you have, like, one specific type of fan? Or
no.
Is it kind of, like, all over the board? Or
we were just talking about this the other day. I said, a lady asked me, she said, are you surprised there's so many, like, kind of different people here? And I said, no, I'm not. I'm like, the age range is, like, 26 to around 50 plus. And black, white, yellow, brown, I mean, it really, like, we really can rock a room with whoever's in there, man. It's, like, it's really... It's got a broad base as yeah. far as what it is, you know what I mean?
I mean, there's something about horns that just kind of makes anybody light up. And the way the music that we're playing is very fun, it's vibrant, it makes you want to dance. And I would say the 26 number is even high. Like, little kids love us, old people love us. It's just something about that music, that spirit that is in our music too, which just kind of comes from that New Orleans thing. It's like a party atmosphere. It's a party vibe that everybody right. can kind of get onto it. And as far as genres, we're completely genre bending. So there's some soul in there. There's some vocals in there. There's vocal harmony. There's some rap and poetry in there. There's some jazz elements in there and improvisation. So there's a little
heavy
something.
Metal.
Yeah, heavy metal.
A lot of metal.
There's just a little something for everybody, so it's yeah. kind of hard for people not to like it, you know?
Do you feel that's more common nowadays? I mean, I remember when I was in high school, there was, like, the metalheads, the kids who liked rap, the pop kids. Like.
Well, you know what did that? The internet.
Yeah.
The internet blended everything together. So at this point, I mean, there are no genres, I feel like. I mean, I feel like everything is kind of open for your interpretation. You know.
And it takes out some of the record label politics because you can have a successful YouTube channel and do your own thing.
It's true.
Yeah, it's pretty much necessary these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a strong presence online?
We do. We have a great, you know, Instagram following. Billy Camp is also a skateboarder, and he does a lot of video work and photography. And that's kind of helped widen our fan base a little bit. And we've been putting out some great video content lately, some new videos for several songs off of our latest album that have been doing good. We recorded a video in Alaska on a boat.
Oh, nice.
And all made with our iPhones, basically, and then edited together, and it came out really... It's on the Prince William Sound. Otters were coming up. And
it's so
to
amazing
play.
That you can just do
nuts.
Stuff like that with your phone now.
Really. Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Do you guys... Like, what's the lowdown brass dream? Like, what... Do you guys want to do the Super Bowl? Like, is there, like... Yeah.
Man, you know, our dream really is just to... To be able to sustain this, to keep doing the work, keep writing, keep recording, keep touring, you know, like I said, we'd like to travel abroad a little bit more, you know, South America, Europe, Australia, but we've had some really great things, you know, come across, you know, Chicago Jazz Fest and Montreal Jazz Fest, and you know, we would love to, you know, get to Lincoln Center in New York, you know, DC, Kennedy Center, those kind of things. But yeah, I think for us, like, really, we just want to try to travel as much as possible and really, like, keep putting that product out, keep putting music out, keep writing, keep evolving. And that's what really keeps us going, is that drive and that spirit and that, like, kind of, like, collective joy that we get out of this endeavor. Because it's like, you know, like we were saying, it's 15 years in, and, you know, the junior member at this point is Billa, who's been in for 4 years, and beyond that it's like 8 or 9 years. So it's like everyone's really bought in, and it's become you know, an organization, it's a family. So, like, as long as we can keep you know, raising the bar little bit by little bit, growing the pie, you know, keep traveling, and as long as it's fun and fulfilling for us, the rest will work itself out. So
right.
There's no, like, ultimate goal of, like, Lollapalooza. Once we hit Lollapalooza, we made it. You
right.
know? So it's always, totally, like, keep just keep working, keep trying to strive for, you know, excellence and creativity and integrity, honesty, and hope people like it, man. So.
And I didn't even ask. I should have, which is kind of stupid of me. Dave, what instrument do you play?
I play Barry Sax.
Barry Sax. And Shane?
I play trumpet and sing.
Trumpet and sing. And Bill, do you play other instruments, or are you just...
I'm the MC, but I mean, I do a little production on the set.
Yeah, nice. Know, so. And so, when, like, have you guys always played instruments from, like, a young age? And, like,
yeah,
when
I
did
mean,
you guys get involved in music?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit different for everybody, depending on who you're talking to. We have a member of the group who, you know, didn't go to music school at all. He was studying to be a geologist, our drummer. And then, you know, decided he really just fell in love with drums and then kind of started studying it on his own. And
he went
and,
from rocks to rock.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. If he was here, he'd say that's a good, nice joke.
Good, nice.
Good, nice.
But, you know, it's just different. I started playing from a real early age. My family was involved with church music, and my mom was, like, the church piano player. Mm-hmm. And I started playing drums in church when I was about 8 and singing. My family had, like, a gospel singing group. And Dave, I don't know, started
school
his
band
school
program,
band program. Yeah. You know, yeah. Several of our guys started when they started in the school band program.
It's tough nowadays. And, I like, my son plays sax, and it's not like when I was a kid. Like, you just signed up and you played.
Yeah. It's now what school band program?
Right. And now it's all, like, pay to play, basically.
Yeah. And yeah. We do a lot of educational presentations and workshops with kids, and really of all ages,
that's
grade
great.
School through. Professional and adult, and one of the responsibilities that we like to take on, or we think it's important for us to take on, is like fostering the legacy of this New Orleans music, jazz, as you know, pretty much one of the only purely American art forms. And we find it's really important because of, you know, the way that funding in schools is, and you know, cutting, slashing budgets, and you know, there's all the band programs, a lot of them are just going by the wayside. So we feel like we have a responsibility to help propagate, you know, jazz music and inform and help get people excited about this music so they can continue it on their own.
And it was such like a huge part of our history, like starting in the, you know, in the South and expanding from there. And
sure.
It's the cradle, I mean, of music.
Exactly.
That's kind of
Western
one
music.
That's kind of one of our goals and missions too with what we do. You know, we feel like it's our job to kind of like show some of the people who are playing horns and jazz, and show that jazz is not a dead thing. That it's ever evolving music, and all of our music is American music is ever evolving. From back in the days where you were talking about, going back to all the way back to Congo Square, where you know jazz really started spreading, where they used to let the slaves celebrate and perform their music in this one place, and people from all over the world in New Orleans started to come out to watch it. And our music for the brass band is kind of similar to the way music progressed in the United States. You know, it kind of started down in New Orleans with that jazz thing, and then sort of turned in, you know, had that blues thing and gospel thing in it, and then slowly turned into rock and roll, and slowly turned into hip hop and
country,
everything. There's that common ancestor that goes back to that collaboration between the, basically from African slavery and kind of mixing it all together down in New Orleans. This is the way that evolved throughout time is kind of how our music evolved. We started, you know, sort of modeling our heroes down in New Orleans and kind of started playing music like that. But as the band progressed, we started realizing there was all these common elements from that second line stuff to hip hop stuff or to hard rock. The beat is the same in
right.
some ways, just a couple of different little elements here and there. The harmony is the same. And so we really think it's important to try to spread that message of like how American music has evolved, and that African-American influence in that story as well. You know, we go around and we talk about that to schools. We talk about Congo Square. We talk about Second Line and the history of that tradition down in New Orleans and how it's evolved into hip-hop. You know, hip-hop is just modern-day jazz, really.
Yeah.
You know, when jazz came out, it was the popular music of the time, and everybody was like, you know, this is devil music.
You
know,
this is all this music. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's the same. It's the same thing. People using what they had around them to make art. You know, that's the history of humanity. That's what we do.
So speaking, I mean, you guys are definitely rooted in your history. And but speaking of That's Not Music, is like, what is the most embarrassing thing you listen to? Like, who owns
a
Miley? Who owns a Miley Cyrus CD?
Oh, wait, hold up.
No.
Your version of, I'm sorry, go ahead. I want to steal your thunder.
No, we're going to do it.
Well, first of all, now country fans are going to really hate me for this one. But first I'll start with this. I listen to a little Florida Georgia Line sometimes. But then I also love Miley Cyrus's version of Jolene.
Don't be mad at
that. That's really good. Yeah,
it's
really good.
But it's two. There's a couple different versions. There was a version when she was younger that's not as good. But then there's the version from her Unplugged MTV. Oh, that version is golden.
Yeah,
we love Dolly. We love Dolly.
Yeah. We love Dolly.
I actually brought her up, but I saw her do a cover of, I think it was Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds with Flaming Lips, and it was great.
Yeah, oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
But hey, I've been to a Yanni concert, so I can't.
Yeah, you know. I mean, guilty pleasures. Yeah. I don't even know. You know,
So you guys mentioned that some of the band has kids. Do you guys yourself have kids, or are they kind of following your footsteps? Do you see like them having creative tendencies, art and music, and whatnot?
Well, yeah, I have a son. He is 10 years old. He's going into sixth grade right now, and he knows every song on the radio or on the internet, but. He used to make songs when he was younger. Now he raps other people's songs. And I feel like eventually he's just going to get over the barrier of being embarrassed. Because when he was young, he had no qualms about anything.
Yeah.
Now he's like too cool for school.
Right.
But he knows every lyric.
Yeah.
So I feel like in another year or two, he'll be like, all right, Dad, I'm ready to go. So you know, when he's ready to go, I'll have his back and we'll do what we need to do.
Nice.
Yeah, and I have a five-year-old and she's... You know, I mean, our kids are around us, and they're around it all the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's just kind of getting started out with some vocal and dance stuff. But, you know, she's kind of like I was. She's going to be around it all the time. It's going to be hard for her to not probably take that same kind of path. So we'll see. I'm not trying to force it on her too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the rest of the kids in the group are pretty young. Well, Chris has babies, our other saxophone player. He's got two little ladies, I think, like 6 and 3. You know, so I think they're starting to develop, you know, actual, you know, personalities and tendencies. But I think, you know, we've got a couple fresh babies fresh in the dads. Trombone section of, you know, just a few months and maybe, so they're not quite, maybe they are picking up the Suzuki method already. I don't know, like little mini violins or something.
It's a little early at that point.
No, yeah. I see it just, you know, kids are sponges, you know, and they pick up what they're around every day and... You know, we all live very musical lives, so it's just a matter, I think it's just a matter of time.
Yeah. And so you've been doing this 15 years. Did you ever dream that you'd be at it this long? Do you have that kind of, do you ever have that imposter syndrome where you're like, what am I, do these people really believe that I'm, you know?
Of course. Like, I mean, kind of I think any artist, like when you go out and take a chance doing any kind of thing, whether it's making music or painting or doing poetry or whatever, you always sort of have that little bit of insecurity that's like, should I be doing this? Do people think I'm real? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. You know, we all have elements of that always, but I never imagined that this band, you know, would have been, especially when we first started, that we would have been going this long and have like got to do the things that we've got to do and see the places that we've got to see through music. And also kind of like the family that it bond that it's built. I would have never imagined, you know, a lot of us have been in bands that lasted, you know, a couple years and then kind of fizzled out because, you know, somebody moved or whatever happens when bands, you know, break up. But this band has always kind of just like kept close and kept it about having fun. And if somebody couldn't be there, well, hey, you know, we loved having you, you know, we're bringing on the next guy. So trying to keep it alive.
Do you guys all travel in like one big bus, like...
Van. It's van, Andy.
Van? Yeah.
It's a 15-passenger van with 8 adult men.
It's not real sexy.
And all the gear. Yeah, not real sexy, but it's lean. You know, we got to do what we got to do on the road to make the numbers right. I mean, we tour with 8. I mean, like, and we decided, you know, that's the sound. That's the... Magic. Instrumentation we need, that's the magic number. Yeah. So like we don't want to present ourselves with really less than that, so that's kind of the sacrifice. One of the sacrifices that we're making is like a little bit of comfort to give, you know, to properly represent ourselves in the way that we want. So yeah, for now it's pretty lean.
Yeah,
it's pretty lean. But
so you get a lot of kids that like dream of being rock stars. Like, what's the worst part of your job?
Downtime.
Downtime in cities you don't know?
Well, I mean, I won't say cities that I don't know, but when you have to show up at the venue a little earlier than you want to, and you got to wait, you know, like, You know what I mean?
Then someone's bugging you about doing a podcast.
No. This is actually the great part of it, man. We get to tell our story and really get to like share it with people and like hang out with a couple cool dudes, man. I mean, this is the great part of it. You know what I mean? The waking up early to hit the road to like make it somewhere by this time in a packed van, that's the hard part. But this right here is the great part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say like for me it's the driving. Like I love to travel. I love that, you know, music takes us places, but the driving part is tough. And then also like tacked onto that is sometimes there can be in some places a spirit of like unappreciation really for like the amount of work or the amount of time it takes to like actually take a band out on the road, how expensive it is. Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes, you know, you'll show up to places and they'll be really warm to you, like they've been here at Thunder Road when we first got here. They've been warm to us ever since we got here. But sometimes you show up to places and they sort of have misled you as to like what they're going to give you or to what they have for you, and that kind of stuff can wear on you and be tough over time.
I'm trying to figure out like how I can phrase this without you calling out anybody specific.
Yeah,
is it like one part of the country that like doesn't really get what you're doing? Let me phrase that to positive. Was there a surprise to like where you went and been like, wow, they totally get us that you didn't expect to?
I don't think it's a region or area of the country. I think it's a case by case, a club by club basis.
Yeah.
Management, you know what I mean?
So was there like one venue that you went in that completely blew you
away? I love every venue we've ever played.
Oh, that's very PC of you.
Yeah, we're not going to holler any names. Yeah. But, you know, some places will, you know, some people have a different appreciation level, or they've been involved in the business for a while and they understand that, like, if a band's been on the road for 5 days, you know, they might want, like, a nice meal and maybe a couple of drinks and maybe a place to, like, chill out for a second, you know? And then stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that's just maybe just a misunderstanding, but just someone being ignorant of the needs of a touring band, maybe, mm-hmm. or not necessarily privy to, you know, what aid guides need and what kind of comfort level they're accustomed to, and you know, how the rigors of the road wear on you and how they're cumulative. Like, you know, one day to be in the van for 7 hours and then have, you know, nice accommodations, nice meals on either end, you know, that's one thing. But if you're doing 7 hours and the next day it's 4 hours, the next day it's 3 hours, the next day it's 5 hours, and then you have an off day, but you have to travel in 8 hours, but it ends up being 10 hours.
Yeah.
And then you get to the venue the next day, and then they don't have proper accommodations for you, or you're a little bit unsure about, you know, there was miscommunication or whatever. So that's when it's really like, oh, man, this sucks.
Yeah,
but we try to grin and bear it and make the best of it, and you know,
try to see the big picture. You're gonna have you can't win them all. You're gonna have some duds, you know, here and there. So,
and sometimes I feel like the duds make for better stories.
I was
down in Florida in January for work, and my boss booked the hotel, and it was a complete shithole, like the worst. Yeah. And we were going to dinner one night, and he's like, I just stepped on a cockroach. And I'm like, ugh. So when he came back, I flew in before him. And when he came back, I had like a sign made up. I had the graphic designer at work make up a sign and put it on his office door. It said, Morgan's No Quality Hotel, and it had, you know, a shitty hotel and roaches all over it. And,
there haven't been too many of those.
Yeah. But luckily, like, those are the stories that kind of hang around and, add to that bond.
Yes. I mean, we switched Airbnbs in Toronto because it was a little
grimy.
It wasn't
a little grimy.
High quality.
Do you do a lot of Airbnbs?
We do, actually.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, save a little money, then rather than get a hotel.
I never stayed at one of those.
And sometimes it's nice. You know, you might look out and get a place with a great balcony or whatever.
Yeah. Has there been like one city that you got to spend a lot of time in that you turned out to really enjoy?
We really love Montreal. I mean, we're headed back there for the jazz festival here in a week, but we've been there several times. It's anybody else?
I was going to say Montreal, Toronto, Cordova, Alaska.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I've never even heard of
Cordova.
It's
a special place. Yeah, it's a special place. It's pretty isolated. It's on the Copper River Delta, on the Prince William Sound, and it's pretty much one of the richest salmon fisheries in the world. So
they're just happy to see people.
They're happy to see people and very appreciative, very appreciative of entertainment and of any sort, but unique entertainment particularly. So we find, like, you know, a lot of times when we go to smaller places, that's when we really get welcomed and appreciated. Because, you know, sometimes even in our hometown of Chicago, we can't get a leg up. We can't get, you know, any notoriety or as much publicity or as much hospitality or whatever as we would if we leave town and go someplace that hasn't seen us before.
Yeah.
Because Chicago is a mecca. Chicago is a huge epicenter for music and culture. There's a lot of bands, a lot of people trying to do things, and it's just a bigger, you know, it's a bigger pond, a lot more fish in it, you know. And so, like, in order, I feel like one of the most difficult things that we've had to do is make it in our own hometown. And once we were able to do that and starting to branch out, you know, we got to see, you know, a little bit more of the country and realize that people really do appreciate what we do. And when we go back home, it's just, you know, there's a lot of other things going on. It's like going to New York, coming to Boston. You know, it's a huge mecca for things like that. So I feel like sometimes when we go to the smaller cities, it's really, you know, they roll out the red carpet. But like you said, like, the hospitality here at Thunder Road has been great. Mm-hmm. No complaints at all. Everyone's been super. We hope, we're crossing our fingers, that's the case on the rest of the tour.
Nice. Where are you guys headed after this?
Go ahead.
How you do?
Or is it Connecticut?
Richfield. Yeah, there's Levitt Amp concert series. So it's an outdoor concert. I believe that's in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. And then...
Then we'll be in New York City, in Manhattan, at a place called Drom.
Then Thursday the 28th.
Thursday the 28th. Then Friday, we're doing another Levitt Amp series. Let me make sure I know all the details.
Oh, well, this won't go up for a while.
There's one in Richfield. Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Then a friendly gathering, in Vermont, near Sugar Bush area. And then we kind of like wrap it up in Vermont and actually do one final one at Summerfest in Milwaukee on the 5th of July. So that's kind of the end of the tour there. Yeah.
But did you say the three nights?
That's all of that by the 5th of July?
Yeah.
But that's 8 days from now.
Yeah.
But also,
we're in the middle of it, man.
But also, did you say the 3 days?
Oh, 3 days, excuse me.
Three days at Montreal Jazz Fest.
Yeah.
It's going to be
three days.
Nice.
Yeah.
So 10 o'clock slot.
Is that a good slot? Or?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You hope so? We think so, yeah.
It's basically like we're headlining our stage for 3 nights in a row.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome.
That was a big get for us. That was exciting. Yeah.
Being a Bruins fan, I'm not allowed to say good things about Montreal.
Sure.
We've never been
there. So, Dave, who are some of your musical influences?
Man, I'm all over the map. I would say early on, I listened to a lot of rock and roll, a lot of punk rock, like East Coast, you know, Fugazi and, you know, like Bad Religion. That's more of a Midwestern punk band. But then I got into, you know, jazz, of course, you know, Duke Ellington, Stan Getz, Wayne Shorter, Weather Report, Jazz Messengers. Hip-hop, you know, Quasimodo, MF Doom, you know, Hieroglyphics. Like, I'm kind of an old-school hip-hop head. You know, James Brown, Willie Nelson. You know, I'm, like, really all over the map. Messiaen and Shostakovich. So, like to bring it all in. So, yeah.
What about you, Bella?
Yeah, man, I mean, I feel like we're all going to say the same thing as far as, like, being all over the place. Yeah. So, like, I'll start on the opposite end of what you think I'm going to say. I'm going to say like Van Morrison, and like, I mean, one of my favorite albums is the Farmhouse by Phish. Like, I mean, like, I grew up in a place where like you listen to everything, and you know, so I mean, then if we go to the hip hop end, I mean, of course the Nas and Jay Z's and all of that stuff, but I mean, I feel like Red Hot Chili Peppers. I mean, Mos Def. The Roots, Black Thought especially. I mean, we can go on and on. I really don't even want to take up too much time on mine.
It's really hard
to pinpoint.
It's like picking your favorite child. Yeah.
I'm down with everything, man. I mean, like, if it's great music, I'm totally into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't discriminate at all.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing for me. I mean, anything that has like real soul and moves me, I've kind of always liked. You know, when I was growing up, I listened to great early gospel music. I loved the great country music. I love jazz. I love Miles. Really heavily influenced by Miles Davis. Heavily influenced by Chet Baker and the West Coast jazz movement. Heavily influenced by Stevie Wonder. He's probably my favorite songwriter of all time. Marvin Gaye, vocally, you know. Luther Van, but I love it all. Luther Vandross. I love, you know, old school hip hop. These days, I'm listening to a lot of Anderson .Paak. I really like his stuff. Kendrick Lamar.
You like a lot of Drake too.
I love Drake. I love Drake. And actually, which is crazy, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but actually, for like kind of like songwriting ability and melody, I really like Drake. You know, yeah. He's a smart songwriter.
Is there ever like a big debate over who gets put on the radio in the van? Or is it more like Democratic, like it's your turn now?
Everybody's been pretty open about, like, you know, whoever's up in the front seat, it's kind of your time to DJ. And everybody loves all kinds of music, really. Right. So one of my favorite things about traveling and being on the road is listening to everybody else's music, like what everybody's listening to, because, you know, you get kind of stuck in a bubble sometimes. Right. You figure out some things you like. You listen to kind of the same things over and over. So it's nice to hear what everybody else is kind of on, you know?
Yeah, being open and open to stuff like that is great. We host a drawing event where artists come in and draw from a model, and you can see the artist be like, oh, what pen are you using? Are you using an iPad? Or that person over there is using Crayola markers. And
sure.
So it's that kind of sharing of ideas that I think is crucial.
Yeah, right. Our van time is crucial. It's like we have business meetings in the van. We're spitballing ideas about promo, the next, you know, what the next record idea is going to be, what the next video is going to be. You know, we write songs in the van sometimes, you know.
How do you play the sousaphone in the van?
You don't. You know, like, we'll just, you know, come up with a melody, come up with a chord structure, and, you know, once we get out of the van, we try to put it to, put it to the test. So, you know, the van time is great. It's such a bonding experience. It can be very productive. It could also be a real drag. So we try to make the most of it.
Is there a van game to pass the time? Like,
no, the van game is chopping up game. Unreal.
Yeah. Like, just, what's the next thing? That's the game.
Yeah.
No, we're just always kind of bullshitting and talking and, you know, taking little shots at one another and joking around, and, you know.
Because I do love road trips, but sometimes they get very, like, we just went down to D.C. back in November, and it's like an 8-10 hour ride, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's fun for the first 4 hours, and then you're like, all right, I have nothing else to say to you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like once you, like, kind of get into the groove of kind of doing it a lot, you understand, like, what kind of conversations you're going to have. Do you need a ton of music? Do you need things to distract you from each other? And we've really developed the thing where, like, we're going to play music. Like he said, like, this guy's going to play a ton of his music. This guy's going to play a ton of his music. Are we going to have, like, serious conversations? We have serious conversations in the van.
Yeah.
Like, about worldly things.
Politics, spirituality.
So there's nothing off the table?
No, not at all.
So, Billy, you skateboard and do photography as well.
Yeah.
Did you skateboard professionally?
No, I mean, I just, like, around the city. I mean, I've been in a couple of squads, and we've made a couple of videos. We took skating serious, but nothing, no sponsors that were ever super serious, but we definitely took our skills serious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it wasn't like, you know, I was on vans or anything. I had a couple of buddies on an old company called Decline.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, nothing too serious, nothing too crazy. But we definitely always took it super serious and always came from the heart. And I love skateboarding to this day. I still watch skate videos. I still try to keep up on everything skateboarding.
I watch when they fall down.
Well, I mean, that's entertaining.
Yeah. What about you other guys? What do you do in your spare time?
You know, freelancer. I'm kind of, you know, to fill up, you know, the rest of the days, I'll hustle some work, you know, I'll do some kind of, like, general kind of, do some painting or some GC kind of stuff, you know, like, mm-hmm. Kind of fix-it guy stuff. My sister and I are in a business. We run our Airbnb out of our place. So I'm kind of a hustler, but really try to craft my availability to do as much as I can with this band, whether it be kind of like on the management quote unquote team, you know,
right.
one of maybe half of the band that kind of helps drive the management.
Does and, all the work that the other ones don't want to do?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, some yeah. of that stuff.
You're
There's
basically
some
looking
that.
At the table of guys who do all the work that nobody
yeah.
else
and,
to do.
And so more and more these last few years, more of my time has been spent, you know, on the hustle of the brass band, which has been great. So I'm really trying to, you know, extricate myself from, you know, painting jobs or, you know, this or that to try to, you know, pound the pavement and write emails about this or that. And
yeah.
So I'm kind of all over the place.
Nice. What about you, Shane?
Well, let's see. I've been teaching at a Chicago public school for about 15 years. So about the
you
time
have that teacher vibe.
That time, that's hilarious.
I don't mean that in a bad way.
No, that's okay.
I'm sorry.
You know what it is? He's got that look of like, I don't have to work for 3 months.
Hey, I'm excited. Totally has that look. So about the time that the band started, actually, this band started about 6 months before I took my first job, and I've been at that same school for 15 years, teaching on the west side. And
Teach music?
I started out teaching music, and now I'm actually teaching technology to the kids. But I've been there for about 15 years. Great community, North Lawndale community on the west side of Chicago. Yeah.
Nice. Outstanding.
And other than that, it just takes up my time. I guess, you know, I love basketball. I play a lot of basketball.
Nice.
It's a big passion of mine, yeah.
Since he's got 3 months off, can we edit him out of the podcast?
I have
a friend of mine who's a teacher, and like all summer long, she texts me pictures of her on the beach being like, guess where I am? No, it's not. So where can people go online to find out more about your band?
Well, you can go to lowdownbrassband.com. That's where our website is. On our website, you can find all of our social media stuff, our Instagram page. We work pretty hard on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Go to our YouTube channel. We have lots of great videos to watch. You can catch us on Spotify. You can catch us on Bandcamp, mm-hmm. Apple Music, SoundCloud. All that good stuff. SoundCloud, we're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to...
Everywhere you're supposed to be.
Everywhere we're supposed to be.
Yep.
And the place to be.
Outstanding. And I assume they can go to your website and see where you're going to be touring.
Absolutely.
Yes, Bands in Towns is a great app that we've been using for like a couple years now.
Yeah.
And
I think my son uses that, and he anytime I mention a band, he adds it. And he'll like, I'll let you know when they come around.
Yeah, please, please.
Yeah,
if you
track us on Bandcamp,
totally.
Yeah, put us on your Spotify playlist, please. Check us out. If you like what you hear, add us. It helps. Every little bit helps.
Outstanding. Thanks, guys, for taking the time to talk to us. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks so much,
appreciate
guys.
It, yeah, awesome. Appreciate it.
This is how it is, because it's all relative. This is how it is, because it's all relative. We rock so hard, it's a crime. You know, at first it seemed so tricky. Had my lessons adding up. Everything we own spend a night with highlight what we did discuss. On this evening, we'll give credence. Ain't concerned with certain things. Certain things ain't worth the pain. It ain't worth my time. It's all in vain. Let's go get a pocket full of let's go spin. Me, I'm not impressed with the next dope shit. So if I got a reason just to flex, hold on. We ain't too far from the next dope fit. Limitations ain't written in the rules. I don't listen to defeat. I listen to the blues. Play the album. This is the outcome. The next born free. In relation relative to what the next gon' be. This is how it is. Because it's all relative. We rock so hard it's a crime. Let's bring it back to the second line.
Tony, flow Donny Donny. Mogo bonya iko yo man ke wa wale kama. Sarafina mogo, sarafina mogo, ikana kelea. Mi donkey dala fara. Feta ye.
Switch the way I rap, matter of fact, the way the track spin. Fact is, maxin', looking for the top shelf. Perhaps I could get there and back and not be trapped in. I'm doing backflips, especially when the track hits. Never knew he's that sick, like damn, I see he practice. That's the way to scrap this, someone try to match it. And now they screaming, get it on, the music they're attached with. So react to getting minds, have it memorized. I write a letter, hopefully that they remember lines. Remember times, criticize, but you'll never find. Where it's fine unless you climb, using every vine. Keep the speakers on sound, let us speak a song. And we can kick it, I'll be good until the reef is gone. What the people long for is what the people want. And what they don't say is what I choose to speak. Can I kick it? Well, I'm gone. Doing laps like what happened. We can lay it out, the only mode is taking action. And action's drastic. In pursuit of everything I'm asking. Asking for heaven before the last spin. Stay in fashion, cause all I wear is passion. 100-yard dash in New Delhi after Aspen. And we can play it back for people that was asking. The people holding grudges couldn't see us moving past it. Turning passes in the dime from the baseline. Quarter waters in the wine through the grapevine. Just co-signing every rhyme like you ain't never lie. Like I ain't never have to do it, so I never try. What the people gon' say when they speak along. Saying we can kick it, everybody got the sneakers on. If we need an encore, then we need the one. Salute, salute, let me see. Can I kick it? Well, I'm gone.
Can I kick it?
Well, I'm gone.
All right. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Don't forget to check out our other podcast. There's the Bar Talk podcast. There's Old Colony Cast. And, of course, the Inebriar podcast along with Jam Packed. You can find all those on Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. If you're on some sort of service and you can't find it, let us know and we'll help you out and or add our podcast to that too. You can contact us at inebriart@yahoo.com and follow us on Facebook as well as Twitter at inebriart. And feel free to send us some tips, ideas, advice, hate mail, whatever it is. You can get us there. And again, thanks for listening.